The schools in Hampton are in the midst of debate over how to handle racism and prejudice. The issue came into focus earlier this year when the white parents of a black third grader said school officials had mishandled their reports of racist bullying. In the first of a two-part series, NHPR's Annie Ropeek has the story of a family and a school district reckoning with discrimination.
This past spring, John and Julie Cochran went before the Hampton School Board to talk about their adopted daughter, Cora. Their problems began in 2016 when Cora was a first grader and one of the few black students at Hampton Center School. One evening, she told her parents something troubling. John and Julie say they knew right away this was a big deal. They recorded their talk with Cora and played that audio at their school board hearing in March.
So, what did you in the cafeteria?
Cora says a white classmate told her, "You're the only one with brown skin in the school." Cora says she and the other girl both knew it wasn't true.
She's looking around to see if I am, and she knows I'm not, but she wants to hurt my feelings and tell me that you are.
The Cochrans say this was one of Cora's first direct experiences with her race. She sobbed the next morning, begging not to go to school. They managed to get her there. Then they asked for a meeting with Cora's teacher and other school officials, all of them white. Julie Cochran told the school board how that meeting started.
It was asked immediately, "How do you know your daughter's telling the truth?" And as a parent, I was flabbergasted.
It was the first of many times the Cochrans say school officials didn't take Cora's case seriously enough. By the end, they say Cora was racked with anxiety about school, her race, and her classmates. Eventually, her parents would pull her out of the Hampton School District. The Cochran story, based on interviews and records shared by the family and through a right-to-know request, paints a picture of how schools can be unprepared to deal with racism. After that initial conflict in the cafeteria, the district separated Cora and the girl she said was bullying her in class. But as John Cochran told the Seacoast NAACP this past spring, it didn't seem to help.
"She's picking at her skin. I hate this skin color.
At the same time, the Cochrans were setting up Cora's special education plan for issues with reading and focus. It meant Cora was evaluated by a doctor and told him about the bullying. In his recommendations to the school, he said the issue appeared to be giving Cora anxiety and should be addressed. But the school didn't take further action. A few months later, John Cochran says Cora came home asking about something else that had upset her.
150 years ago, I'd be property daddy. I'm like, what are you talking about? I wouldn't be allowed to go to school. I'd be somebody's property. It's a first grader."
The Cochrans say they'd planned to talk to Cora about slavery and being black, just not when she was so young. As white parents adopting a black baby, John says they'd promised her birth mom they'd protect her from racism. Still, they never imagined problems like these. They hope this slavery talk was innocent, maybe related to a Black History Month activity in the classroom. School officials told them this was not the case. Again, the officials promised to monitor the situation, and again, they wound up moving Cora's seat in class. For a while, things calmed down. Then came third grade in fall 2018. Cora was in a new class at Hampton's Upper Elementary School, and she began to come home upset again. The Cochrans didn't know why.
"Cora is I cannot go to school. I cannot go to school, Dad. And at night, she was crying. I can't go. Why?" And then finally she told me. This little girl is telling people my skin looks like poop."
It turns out school officials had known about this for at least a few weeks. Records show they got emails from at least two other parents who'd heard troubling things from their kids about a classmate telling Cora, "You must not like me because I'm white, and my mom said I can't like black people." The district had told those other concerned parents they'd look into it, but they didn't immediately open a formal bullying case or notify the Cochrans, says Julie.
"We were never made aware that this was happening at school by anyone."
Throughout all of this, the Cochrans say Hampton officials were breaking their own rules. They say school officials focused too much on moving Cora in class and not her antagonists. And they say administrators didn't follow school bullying policy. That requires officials to open a case, inform parents, and investigate within days of when bullying is reported. The district did meet with the parents of Cora's alleged bullies, but in the end, they ruled that her case didn't meet the official definition of bullying because they said there wasn't evidence the reported behavior had interfered with Cora's education. The Cochrans disagree. Cora sometimes missed school because of anxiety about the bullying. One of her doctors diagnosed her with possible post-traumatic stress disorder, writing a letter to the school saying the bullying could be doing long-term harm to her development. So in addition to working with the NAACP to lodge a formal civil rights complaint with the district, John and Julie pulled Cora out of Hampton Schools this past March. They transferred her to a private school in Massachusetts, where they said she was happier almost immediately. Meanwhile, they asked Hampton for what's called a manifest educational hardship designation, basically tuition reimbursement, for being forced, they say, to change schools. This was what got them their school board hearing in March. That meeting also gave Hampton's white school officials a chance to share their perspective. Here's Cora's first grade principal, Tim Lannon, talking about the cafeteria incident, where that classmate said Cora was the only one with brown skin in the school.
These are six-year-olds. These are differences they'd noticed about other students in the cafeteria, such as some had curly hair and others had freckles, that Cora and another student in a different class had brown skin.
At the meeting, school officials said they did all they could and had to do to make Hampton work for Cora. In the end, they denied the Cochrans' request for tuition reimbursement too, saying it didn't apply to an out-of-state private school. Throughout this process, the Cochrans have been working closely with the Seacoast chapter of the NAACP. Here's what chapter president Rogers Johnson told school administrators about Cora's case.
She was not believed. In many ways, the school system failed her. There needs to be some level of understanding of what took place. Not what you say took place, but what actually took place.
Johnson says he sees a pattern of responses like this in New Hampshire schools, of officials, he says, trying to sweep issues of prejudice and racism under the rug. For Hampton, progress on fixing that problem has been hard to measure, and not everyone is convinced the district is doing enough. More on that in the next part of this story, tomorrow. For NHPR News, I'm Annie Ropeek.